I'm Alec Brock.
And I'm Doug Sears Jr., and you are listening to The Swarley Report.
Brought to you by Grand Central Magazine.
Well, Alec, it's been a while.
Yes, it has.
What has been going on that we can't do this all the time?
Your senior year.
Oh, right. That's it. Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
So, speaking of college football, here's a shocker. College football is insane in December. The games are pretty much over. We got a couple conference championships games, but nothing makes sense. Have you ever seen a season in college football where things don't make sense in December? Isn't this strange?
I have to think back a while. Maybe last year.
Or the year before.
Or probably the last, I don't know, how long has BCS been around?
About 10 years.
Okay.
15 years, yeah.
All right, so I'd say right about around there.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think you're right. So, it's pretty weird. There's a lot of math involved. I don't like it, but let's just put it this way. I'm thinking it's got to be, assuming LSU wins the SEC championship, and I don't think there's any reason they shouldn't, I think it's got to be LSU-Alabama. And I know we went through this a few years ago in 2006, where it should have been Michigan-Ohio State when they came into the final game of the season 1-2, and Ohio State won by a field goal. And yeah, I know Florida came back and beat Ohio State and basically made the BCS, you know, look like a genius, and that still haunts me. But I still think, even though they're in the same conference, even though LSU has already beat Alabama, it's got to be LSU-Alabama again. They're the two best teams in the nation.
I don't disagree with you. I think the national championship should be between the two best teams. My favorite part of this season was when people were talking about this, saying, well, Alabama got their shot, okay? They lost 9-6 in overtime. So obviously, they've already had the shot of the championship. But Oregon, they have one loss. They just beat Andrew Luck's Stanford team. And I go, guys, week one, college football season. LSU tromped Oregon, beat them physically down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was a dominant performance by the LSU defense, and the offense did a few things.
Yeah.
Point is, LSU, Alabama, the only reason LSU won that is because Alabama's kicking game was awful. I'm pretty sure they missed 3 or 4 field goals. Not to mention, there was a pass to the end zone right around the 1 yard line that LSU somehow, I don't know how, you can go look up the replay, they threw it deep and all of a sudden an LSU defender just stole it from the Alabama guy. And that was the difference in the game. The missed field goals, which I don't think will happen again. I mean, yeah, sure, they might miss 1 or 2, but to miss 3 or 4 is pretty irregular.
Yeah, that's an anomaly. That's not something to be expected. I mean, I think it comes down to the idea that we don't have a playoff. Don't have to tell anybody here anything. But it's not about who gets a shot and whose turn it is and, you know, let's make sure everybody gets to play fair. It's about who is the best. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't think there's any doubt that the two best teams in this country are LSU and Alabama. And I know Nick Saban was quoted back in 2003 saying you have no business being in the national title game if you haven't won your conference, but he's wrong and he's going to benefit from it because there's no way we can have a national championship without that Alabama team right now. They're just that good, and nobody else is good enough to take their place. To really say, of course we need Oklahoma State, of course we need Stanford, of course we need Oregon, because none of them are convincingly better than Alabama. I wish we could prove that in a playoff, but we can't.
So what you're telling me is that the 12-0 Houston team just doesn't do it for you.
Let's not get into that. But no, they're not. I don't think they stand a chance against Alabama.
All right, so BCS, if you hear us, Alec Frost, Doug Chase Jr., go with LSU, Alabama. It's the right choice.
And then go to playoff next year, because I don't want to do this again for the next decade. Please.
Yeah, except you're going to be graduated, so.
I'll still be watching. I'm going to have a TV when I graduate.
So, the NBA lockout.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of fall on my sword here and ask you to explain it for me because, again, we got a lot of math going on. We got a lot of numbers. didn't really pay that close of attention because hockey has been really great lately. I just know it seems like the players got a little bit of a raw deal, although maybe with the way the NBA's finances were looking, that's important because it wasn't like the NFL where everybody was banking. It was a situation where we had a lot of teams that were in the red. So were there winners? Were there losers? And is the NBA better off?
Okay. To answer your question first, going into this deal, the players had 57% of the basketball-related income, the BRI. You probably heard that in bumps the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's just say throughout the negotiations, Billy Hunter, Derek Fisher, the Players Association, had multiple attempts to get more than what they got eventually. But they, excuse my French, pissed it all away. And the final deal results in right around somewhere between 49 and 51% on any given year of basketball-related income for the players. Okay? They figured some things out. I don't want to go into too many details, but there were some changes with, extended trade, sign-and-trade, things like that, mid-level exception, basically teams being able to sign players when they're close to cap, you know, blah, 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 blah. Point being is this, there are some winners and there are some losers. The winners here are the owners because, like you said, there are teams hemorrhaging money, especially small market teams, like your Indiana Pacers, like your New Orleans, Hornets.
Milwaukee,
teams like
Toronto, yep.
Absolutely. These teams are struggling to, keep it going because, let's be honest, this country's economy has hit basketball hard. There are a lot of other sports that can say they've done a pretty good job. Like you said, NHL seems to be doing pretty well considering their lockout however many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But basically I would say the winners and losers, winners, the person and team that comes to my mind is Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant and the LA Lakers did something last year they haven't done in a long time. They lost before they got to the NBA title game. Okay? And if we know anything about Kobe, we know that he plays with a passion and almost an anger that we haven't seen since Michael Jordan. He's not Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he has
that drive.
He has a Hall of Fame chip on his shoulder. I think we all know that. I think it's been that way from the beginning. And I got to be honest, him with a little extra rest and him knowing that things are winding down, it's going to make things very dangerous in June because I think we've all noticed about Kobe that he's all about his own legacy, and right now his legacy is, does he have as many championships as Michael Jordan? That's what's on his mind. I think we all know that. I think he's the type of guy who can mitigate that to bring the team together to win it because he wants to win it. And I think you're right. I think he's on one of his last runs. And I don't know. I don't think the Miamis, the Chicagos are ready to tangle with that. I think the Lakers got it again. Unless Steve Nash gets traded to the Knicks. But let's not get our hopes up too high.
Let's just ignore my Steve Nash obsession and talk about this. Kobe Bryant is the most complete basketball player in the NBA. You could argue that the most physically gifted athlete ever is LeBron James. But at the end of the day, crunch time, when it comes down to it, you can take things away from LeBron James. You can take certain aspects of his game away from him.
It seems pretty clear you can take him out of games mentally.
Yes,
first
you can.
Of all.
Absolutely. Kobe Bryant, very rarely. Unless your name is Bruce Bowen, which Bruce is on ESPN wearing a cute little bow tie now.
Love the bow tie, Bruce.
Love the bow tie, Bruce. Keep it up. But anyway, the point is, Kobe doesn't lose that often, and when he does, he comes back that much stronger. And you know what scares the hell out of me? The Boston Celtics and LA Lakers and San Antonio Spurs, they only have to play 66 regular season games this year. Normally they only play 66 because, you know, they rest the rest of the way.
True, true.
Okay.
But maybe that 66 means they're only playing 50, 55.
Exactly.
For those teams with superstars, a lot on the odometer, the Tim Duncans, the Steve Nashes, again, the Kobe Bryants, the Kevin Garnett especially, because I think he's been declining the most as far as injuries catching up to him. It's kind of exciting to see the old guard sort of being in prime position right now because, once again, all we've been hearing about is the Miamis and the Chicagos, and I don't think they've got the temperament to come into this shortened training camp prepared to do the work that the older ones are going to do. And to be honest, I don't think they had the focus over the lockout that I'm sure Tim Duncan had, that I know Kevin Garnett had, that I guarantee you Kobe Bryant had. And that's what I'm most excited to see, is who comes out of this looking like they were ready to play basketball back in May, and who comes out of this thinking that they were going to have a longer vacation.
Doug, I have a question for you.
What's that?
Why aren't we talking about Dirk Nowitzki?
We haven't mentioned Dirk Nowitzki.
You know why? Because the rest of the country isn't talking about Dirk Nowitzki, because they believe that it was a fluke.
Because they want it to be like the San Francisco Giants last year, where it's like, oh, well, that was fun. Let's get back to the real teams. But you know what? The Mavericks are a real team.
They are.
And I think they're going to be right back where they started from. And when it comes down to them and in L.A., in the playoffs, whether it's whichever round it is, that is going to be the series of the year, if not the century, because it's going to be a perfect storm, and I'm really excited for it.
You know, the biggest difference between that is going to be Dallas can compete if they re-sign Tyson Chandler. If they don't do it, if Tyson, has a Toronto, like some are rumoring him to, then they're not going to have the overall link in size.
Yep.
But, as we all know, Mark Cuban loves to overpay for his centers. So
seen it a million times. Yeah. I think we're going to see it again.
Yeah, hey, Brendan Haywood, how's sitting on the bench and making that much money?
And as Mark Cuban clearly demonstrated to his shareholders over the summer, which I thought was hilarious, he runs the team to win, not to make money, not for merchandising. I mean, all those things are all important, and he's a savvy businessman, but he's out to win, and if Tyson Chandler is going to do that, Tyson Chandler is going to be in a Mavericks uniform. I think we can pretty much guarantee that. Mark Cuban's not going to let this window close.
Well, and that, you know, well over $100,000 bottle of champagne had to be pretty tasty, and I'm sure Dirk wants some more.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd go back for seconds if I had the chance, if I was in a situation like that.
Speaking of chances, the Detroit Lions have blown plenty this year.
Oh, yeah. Very exciting start. 5-0. Who can believe it? Monday Night Football came out, had a big win. I don't want to say that was the beginning of the end of the season, but it feels like it right now, doesn't it?
I think here's where they're at. The Javid Best injury was huge.
It was
because,
huge, yes.
Sure, they weren't running the ball all that well. But Javid Best provides an explosive option out of the backfield that they couldn't possibly replace. Now, Kevin Smith has done a very nice job, and he's had a couple very good games, but he got a high ankle injury against the Packers last week. And let's be honest, Kevin Smith, there's a reason why he was released. It was never because he wasn't talented enough to play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because he couldn't be a featured back. It's because he couldn't stay healthy. And while I think this is just a bump in the road, I think the biggest difference this season will be whether the Lions can shore up the mistakes, the penalties, and the turnovers. If you look at the basically two-game stretch between the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears when the Lions got just trounced by the Chicago Bears. And then the following week, they were in a shootout, and basically it came down to the last couple of drives. They had five first-quarter turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Five.
Yes, they did.
And that is not how you win. And if you look at last week's loss to the Packers, if you could ever dominate a half of football and trail, that's exactly what the Detroit Lions did.
Yeah.
They dominated time of possession. They held Aaron Rodgers, you know, potentially the best quarterback in the league right now, which the only reason I say he's not is because, well,